Welcome to Return with Honor, a Wyvern Nation podcast hosted by the 31st Fighter Wing Commander, Brigadier General Tad Clark. Enjoy the message.
Well, hello and welcome to today's podcast here at Aviano Air Base. 31st Fighter Wing podcast is, of course, Return with Honor. I am super excited about today's topic. We have two folks here in the room with me. Of course, my wingman, Chief Master Sergeant Cesar Flores, the Command Chief of the 31st Fighter Wing. And we have a special guest that I'll introduce here in just a moment. We are using these podcasts to share some thoughts and insights as we navigate this thing called life, as well as we have a mission to execute. And we want to be armed and equipped with different thoughts and perspectives as we move forward with that in mind. One of our cultural tenets in this wing is develop. We want to develop each other. We want to develop the team. And for the specific purposes of today's conversation, we want to develop grit. Grit is a powerful, powerful thing for us. Again, in the business of the profession of arms, but also in life. And so I'm really, really excited. I hope this is a podcast that you'll listen to and then you rewind and listen to it again. So strap in, put the AirPods in and get ready to listen to something I think that's gonna be really motivational, inspirational, and really helpful. So I've built this up. Our special guest today, Chief, of course, with us is Technical Sergeant Joe Apollinar. And Joe is a SEER specialist here in the 31st Fighter Wing. And you've got some great war stories and some vignettes to share with the team. So I'm gonna stop talking and we wanna be in receive mode. So Joe, welcome. And it's great to see you. I've been blessed to serve with you here for a couple years now and we have another year together here. I'd like you to start off with, if you could please, to introduce yourself to our listeners, our audience, and just share a little bit about who you are and why you wanted to be a SEER specialist.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. The honor's mine, and it's been a pleasure getting to know you and Chief and the team here. A SEER specialist is a really unique career field. I am very passionate about it. I didn't originally want to join the military when I was going through school. I studied art, I studied music, played a little water polo, went to school in Santa Cruz, California. But I knew that there was a desire to serve my country that was insatiable. When I joined the Air Force after I rendered it down, it was either going to be something like pararescue, combat control, and SEER. I knew that SEER was the right one because of the touch that you have in inspiring people. And it's not just an instructor career field. We reach into special warfare. And what we do now, what I do here with the 57th Rescue Squadron, is I'm attached to one of the teams. So we have two teams here. I'm on two troop. Our logo there is In Boca Lupo, so in the mouth of the wolf. It's where you're protected. It's closest to danger. And that's what I feel like what we do. So we prepare to go out into the unknown, to the darkest part of the forest where no one else wants to go when things go wrong. So we've got a wonderful team full of pararescue men. We're hoping to get a TAC piece soon, but it's right now it's SEER Specialist, Crow, Combat Rescue Officer, and Pararescue. That comprises our team. And right now we're preparing to deploy to Africa to be prepared to execute that mission.
Okay, so with that in mind, executing the mission, we talk a lot about returning with honor. That's our wing motto, of course. You and I have talked about this a lot of times, and you've talked about to return with honor, it requires integrity, it requires resilience, it requires proper preparation, but it also requires a tremendous amount of grit. So Joe, can you share with us, as you have been in this process of developing your grit, can you share some stories and examples with us where you have relied on grit to get through the situation?
I'm sure everybody listening, I mean, any of us in this room probably have plenty of those stories. Not all of them are maybe as profound as maybe some of the war stories we hear, but I think the ones that come to mind are probably more recent ones. So in terms of our deployment preparation, we like to challenge ourselves to the point of, okay, what would potentially happen? So we were in Norway a few months back, snowing, we get a simulated mission drop where we have to fly to a location where there's potential for a pilot who's been shot down and he's stuck because he's unresponsive, so we need to get there quickly. So we land the team, we set up security, the helicopter moves away to a better location, and we start to make our way up this trail, and you have to make real-time decisions. And we chose, okay, we need to leave our snowshoes here so that we can move quieter through the trees based on enemy possibility. And the snow got deeper and deeper, and there was a point where the snow was up to my hip, and all of a sudden we see him. We see there's a guy in a parachute stuck in a tree, and then we see, or we hear at first, snow machines coming. So this was the enemy or some unfriendly force. They started firing, and we knew that it was risk to the team, but also risk to the person who's helpless there. So we broke in, we're using our tactics, we broke in separate elements and attacked, ambushed, and then supported the other element. But when we got to the point where we knew we had eliminated the enemy and we need to get this guy out of the tree, my heart rate was probably 165 at this point. My TL looks at me and he goes, "Joe, get the tree letdown kit. We need to get this guy out of the tree." And I am panting and sweating and it's freezing and I'm already burnt. I'm in the red zone on my Garmin watch. So I grab the kit, I grab my weapon, I sling it over my shoulder and I start to sprint, and it looks like a baby walking, but I'm going as hard as I can. I get to the base of the tree and I take a couple deep breaths. I put the tree gaffs on, I get my belt set up, and I start to scale the tree as my TL goes around and searches the enemy force for any intelligence that we could use. I get to the top of the tree, I start to talk to the patient. He's responsive, but he's not really there. So I set up the lowering device, we get him down, throw him on the snowmobile, and as I'm holding the litter, as we're bringing him down, I'm doing basic EMT medicine. The paramedics are with me there, so we're all kind of thinking, what is the next stage of this mission? Everybody's heart rate's up, but we're trying as best we can to remain calm. The helicopter's yelling in the ear, "We've got 15 minutes, we need to get out of here." And so you're dealing with these time constraints. Then you have surveyors and people watching you because it's preparation for it. Somebody's watching you, are you doing it right? We finally get down the mountain. We get the guy in the litter, the helicopter lands back, and then we get on the bird. And then you start to think like, man, I wish I had snowshoes. But at the time you're doing those things, sure, you can say, I wish that. It doesn't matter. When to me, grit is, you know what you have to do. Sure, it would be easier with such and such A, B, C, or D, but you get it done with what you have to the best of your ability. With snowshoes, it would have been faster, but it's irrelevant information, so you move past it. Grit, in my opinion, is doing what you have to do as best as you can to the point that you have really not much left to give. And what happens when you do that is you rally. It's very strange to me. Every time I've done that, where I've gone as much as I could possibly go, it creates this electric magnetic force and everyone else starts to do that. It's almost like a reverse domino effect where everything is pushing and leaning, everything's standing up. It's strange to me. But grit, when given, turns into a collective energy.
I love that mental picture of the reverse domino effect where everyone's standing a little taller, feeling a little more empowered, and able to get it done. That's a great segue. So what I want to ask you next, Joe, is as a SEER specialist, what do you do to prepare for those moments that our listeners can put into practice?
That goes into some really good points. Preparation has to be done prior. You can't go to a strength competition the day before having not lifted any weights, and maybe your max that you've ever done is 125, and expect to be able to do the max that someone who's been training has. You need to prepare for those things, and that takes prior preparation. Confidence building was huge for me. Being a young guy growing up, there's a lot of that depression that comes on you. You got hormones that are mixing, but in my experience, it's just like the scientific method. The more that you prove to yourself, mentally, physically, that you can do something, it disproves the negative thoughts in your mind and it creates that confidence. So there's nothing that it can say when you really challenge it logically. I would say that other than building confidence, it's physical training. Physical training is, yeah, rendered down, it's going to the gym, working out. But it doesn't have to be in a gym, a square four-wall room with heavy things to lift up. It's challenge is what it really is. And that's a space to be challenged. But there's plenty of those spaces that exist. There's mountains to climb. If you feel that it's hard, that's probably the right way to go. I love Marcus Aurelius's comment, the obstacle is the way. Oh, I'm not sure where to go. Well, where's the darkest part of the forest? That's probably where the dragon is, because dragons hide and don't want to die. But the longer you wait, the bigger the dragon gets. And when it becomes big enough to kill you and your family and attack your town, I think you've waited too long. So go to the darkest part of the forest. The obstacle that's in front of you is the way. That's where you'll go to attack the dragon when it's young. Prevent it from turning into something that can breathe fire. That's a Jordan Peterson reference. Again, in terms of preparation, physically building confidence, but it's also having conversations with people from the past. Jim Mattis said, if you haven't read hundreds of books, you're functionally illiterate. I love that quote because he's basically rendering that down to saying, if you haven't had a conversation or talked to Marcus Aurelius or Alexander the Great, they're wanting to talk to you. Go talk to them, read their book, listen to what they have to say. That's how you turn that knowledge into something you can action and build confidence.
I love your reference to hard. I always tell people a part of grit is focusing on care and not comfort, right? And that's pretty powerful. Being in the 57th Rescue Squadron, being at the Taj Mahal over there, you're surrounded by warriors, right? People that are, I would say, cut from the same fabric. And that's who we recruited. As an airman who has been trained specifically to survive and thrive in complex, dynamic, and dangerous situations, what are some actionable tips for the rest of us not in special warfare?
I think that's a great question because you're right. Like when you look at great people in history, you think, well, that's cool, but they're the greatest that humankind can offer. It all renders down, again, from my experience, and I've only been on this earth for 33 years. In my experience, it renders down to very simple things. They are willing to challenge themselves. You're right. It's about care, not comfort. The point is, for me as a father, caring for my kids, is I prepare the child for the road. I don't prepare the road for him or her. They need to understand what it means to be uncomfortable. So what we do is I take my kids down to the Santissima. There's like a cold water that comes out of the right out of the wall there. It's freezing. It's about 7 degrees Celsius. And I tell them whoever can stay in there the longest will get gelato or gets to pick the gelato. And it starts to build this comfort for them with uncomfort that it's important to challenge and let my body know who's in charge of it. It's not, well, this feels bad, it should be avoided. No. It feels bad, it's probably something that's good for me. Not always the case, but they learn that. So I would say expose yourself to cold water. Get up early and spend time with yourself. Get to know yourself emotionally. Render down what are the things that make you tick, what are the things that are holding you back. I know that sounds touchy-feely, but it's some of the best leaders that I have, and there, a few of them are at the 57th, are people that are very emotionally involved with themselves. They're in touch with who they are, and they're not afraid of that. Skip a few meals, maybe 1, 2, 3, or 4. See what it's like to be hungry. That uncomfort will challenge all of that stuff that's hiding down in the bottom to render to the surface and allow you time to deal with it. What I'm essentially saying by those small things is take a walk into the forest. Maybe you're not ready to go into the deepest part, but you can peek in around the corner and see what you need to go back and get ready for it.
You also mentioned, Joe, mindset matters. Can you just elaborate on that just for a moment with the time we have remaining? Mindset matters.
The way you see it is the way it probably is gonna go. I've seen this multiple times. Tom Cruise was just talking about this when he was doing the jump in Norway. Where your eyes are Looking is more than likely where your body's gonna follow. So visualize, what does it look like to see you there? You've heard stories of people writing themselves a $10 million check. Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're rendering that down to, what is me going to look like in the future? So you create that visual mindset of who you're gonna be. The longer you dwell on the thing that you're afraid of, oh, it might be, I might be, well, it probably will render itself into that. But create a visual image of what you want to look like physically. Maybe you want to look a certain way. Picture it. Then find ways to get to it. And then in my experience, you don't need a perfect plan. You just need something to deviate from.
We could talk to you for hours, Joe. Very inspirational. Love the stories. I know actually there were a whole host of war stories and vignettes you were going to provide or could provide, but appreciate the one you shared at the beginning. So here's the deal for those listening. I think this is a really powerful podcast because it encourages us to get out of the comfortable and step into the uncomfortable, to challenge ourselves. I really like your reference to go towards the obstacle, right? And so it is a mindset, but it takes intentionality, a deliberate approach, a mental toughness, and that's the grit that we all need. So what I really like about your story too, Joe, is you're a father, you're a husband, you're a musician, you're an athlete, you're an author, but you are an airman, you're a warfighter, you're a wingman, you're a great addition to this team here in the 31st Fighter Wing, and we're very fortunate to have you and all those that you represent. So thank you for your message on grit as we continue to think about things that we need to develop in the members of this wing, in our United States Air Force, in the profession of arms. And I think there's a lot of relatable topics and actionable tips that you shared that we can apply in our lives, even if we're not in the profession of arms. And it applies to everyone listening. So thank you very much, Joe.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for listening to the Return with Honor podcast. If you'd like to learn more about the mission, airmen, and families of Aviano, visit the Aviano Air Base Facebook page. If you enjoyed the podcast, click to subscribe. We'll see you next time.